Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Buffalo Bills select Keon Coleman, receiver.
The 2024 draft class is complete.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Here we go. Let's grade it, baby.
Let's grade it.
Justin Shorter, Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman, Quintez Cephas.
Mike Danger.
I haven't talked about the Bears yet, but I'm a happy Chicago Bears fan for the first time in many, many years during the NFL draft.
Gene Battaglia.
The executive producer's like, you know, I didn't realize you did an Owen Wilson impression. That was pretty funny. I'm like, thanks. That was actually Danger. So,
wow.
Still, it goes for icing.
They score as a result of that. Declan Carlisle shoots it toward the net front. Game 4J will tip this puck through. This series is tied at 1.
How dare you? How dare you?
The Rangers beat the Capitals 4-2 to sweep that series 4-0.
The Timberwolves have swept a postseason series.
The Wolves.
The Wolves. Get up in here. Seriously.
Just want to make sure that we're all appreciating LeBron James.
Kentucky Derby's coming up. Baseball. Lots to get to. Where to start?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Hey, good afternoon. And welcome on into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's only local sports talk show. Glad you're listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950. The free-to-download Odyssey app. Just search out The Fan Rochester. You can get our video stream on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, or even on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. Back in the familiar setting of our studios here at High Falls, Mike Danger along with Gene Battaglia.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who came out. Some people came out to both broadcasts, which was really cool. Coming out to Three Heads on Thursday, Tap Room at Bill Gray's, Chai Lai location on Friday. A lot of fun, as the draft always provides the unexpected. A lot of ground for us to cover in the show here.
And we'll get to a lot of what the Buffalo Bills did in the 2024 NFL draft through the course of the afternoon when we're joined later on by Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com.
Yeah, and Ryan does a great job tracking these undrafted free agents. And with a Bills team that is in need of cheap labor, granted, they did have 9 draft picks this year. We'll see how many of these guys you can get excited about. So we're just kind of learning to get together who's coming in here that was not drafted. Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, pretty notable name being added to the wide receiver room that we'll get to here over the course of the afternoon as well, with Ryan Talbot at 4:25 this afternoon. Later this hour, joining us from 13WM Sports and BuffaloPlus.com, Dan Fates.
Yeah, we'll talk to Dan and get his opinion on everything that happened with the draft here. And certainly, Keon Coleman, he's your guy. But what do you think, Bills fans? We'll get the opinion of Dan Fates here. I know Mike Catalano's opinion always on this when we have him over the years. And that's, you got to suspend your judgment. And that's kind of the position I take here.
Yeah, right. Well, what's your draft grade? What's your draft grade? Well, the draft grade is incomplete. Check back in 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did I have the Bills taking Keon Coleman? No, I did not. In fact, hardly anybody did. Go back. We had Maddie Glab on how many times on our show, or you heard her how many times on One Bills Live, and not many mocks had the Buffalo Bills trading down to take Keon Coleman. Does that mean it's the wrong thing? Does it mean it's a bad thing? You have to suspend your judgment. So, but beyond that, how did the Bills kind of fill the positional need? I guess that's also kind of a topic. We'll talk to Dan Fates, 13 Wham, coming up shortly.
And we want to hear what your thoughts are on the Buffalo Bills draft haul of 2024 at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326. And we're also on X at the Fan Rochester. You can engage with us there. Gino, it was a good weekend, a productive weekend. Got to watch some of the draft on Saturday. I know you had Fisher Lacrosse and
which we were breaking in, like, okay, the Bills select Ray Davis. There's a goal. You know, so it was a fun Saturday afternoon. But.
Yeah, well, let's break it down a little bit here, because I don't know that anybody had on Friday night, you mentioned a Keon Coleman, the guy that the Bills end up selecting with the first pick in the second round after trading out of the first round on Thursday. So you look at the guys that went in front of Coleman, and the Bills apparently didn't have first round grades on some of those guys late in the first round, but they must have had a second round grade on Keon Coleman, who they liked better than Ladd McConkey, who was still on the board when the Bills were selecting.
Yeah, but moving down the one slot for a pick swap, essentially, it's kind of ironic, coincidental. I'm not sure which is the proper phrase to use, but on the same day today where the Bills pick up the fifth-year option on Greg Rousseau, you're not going to be able to do that. That's not what second-rounders have. They do have a lower cap figure, I suppose, by just moving down the one slot. But say Coleman is the guy, why would you give up a year of cost control on that? That's kind of an interesting thing. But I think Keon Coleman kind of winning brownie points over there, talking about cookies and Waffle House and everything on Saturday.
Yeah, likable personality. Here's Keon Coleman being introduced to Bills media on his style of play.
I think I take a lot of bits and pieces from different players. You know, I think the size and weight that I am, being able to move laterally and vertically that the way I do, I don't think it's just one particular guy I can put myself to. So I'd like to take different pieces from everybody's game and implement it on what I already been gifted by God.
So when the Bills made this pick, and you know, I told you the guy that I didn't want them leaving the draft with was Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey ends up going to the Rams just a couple picks later. I wanted to learn more about Keon Coleman because I don't want to be blinded by the fact that he didn't run a 40 time the way a lot of people thought he would at the combine. He was slow at the combine, like a 4.6. And I don't want that to blind my perception of what he is. And so Reception Perception, Matt Harmon's website, is a great website for tracking wide receiver prospects through the draft process, the pre-draft process, and as they become pros. And the takeaway I got from kind of studying up on Keon Coleman is not a great separator and has a lot of the same skill sets as a handful of current wide receivers in the NFL, most notably Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had a very similar kind of like trait, similar qualities coming out of college into the pros. Now, the Lions use Amon-Ra St. Brown as kind of like this big slot, for lack of a better phrase. And Keon Coleman, Harmon's takeaway is that Keon Coleman would be best suited in the NFL playing that role. I don't think the Bills are going to use him in that role. I think the Bills have every intention of using Keon Coleman on the outside as their ex, as the guy that can stretch the field. And I guess I'm kind of curious as to how that looks and
what that looks like. I don't have any reason to believe that's the case here. Like, if you put Coleman in the slot, also, by the way, like, if that ends up happening, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, holy cow,
you'd be great.
Wow, what a win. And by the way, he went in the fourth round.
That's right.
So that's, you can find those sort of gems. You know, comps are comps. And the one comp I read, and I felt like I didn't do enough homework with Keon Coleman. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think that the one comp I read, Cortland Sutton.
Sure.
Like, that's it. Also, Danger, how much different will this Bills offense be now that Joe Brady has a whole offseason to kind of tinker and do whatever he wants? I think we kind of have in our mind, okay, you could use, we saw Diggs running down the seam. See the Miami touchdown from last year in week 4. Well, how many times did you see Diggs in the slot? Diggs in the slot was fantastic. So he could be a guy that you move all around. And what's interesting also is Brandon Bean kind of saying, yeah, he can be our number one. That was the takeaway that I pulled from B.
But he didn't say right away.
Correct.
He said down the road he could be our number one. And I think like most of the guys that they bring in, there's a development that happens. It's not immediate. You don't get, I mean, Trey White was an immediate return, right? Like, you got an immediate return on that investment first round pick. He was out on the field and he was good right away. Dalton Kincaid, I would say you had maybe like half a season. And then after a certain point, it's like, okay, yeah, he's in, he's good. We don't have to worry about him anymore, right? You saw the Bills today extend the fifth-year option on Greg Rousseau's rookie deal. I think he's still in that development process. I still think Ed Oliver is kind of – we shouldn't be talking about guys developing when they're in year four, year five. Like, you're in the league, pal. It's time to go. But I think with Coleman, it might be one of those things where we're looking at him maybe not as a rookie, putting up the kind of numbers that we want. So I'm still kind of left thinking – that the Bills wide receiving core is inferior right now to what it was last year at this time.
Oh, how could it not be? And it, look, we don't even bring up Gabe Davis. Look, you'd say what you want about Gabe Davis. Like, he was.
That's what every Bills fan is saying, is that this guy is nothing more than Gabe Davis 2.0.
Suspend your judgment. I would say immediately
better hands than Gabe Davis. I mean, like, Keon Coleman does have, from what we've seen, an ability to go up and get it. Good hands, really good hands. But we'll see. I mean, the idea that this guy's going to be matched up with Sauce Gardner twice a year, like, who's winning that matchup? I want to believe it's going to be Keon Coleman, but I'm not sure. If he's a guy who can't separate, maybe his physicality plays a role in his ability to separate in the NFL. But we'll have to suspend our belief. And what about his relationship with his new quarterback, with Josh Allen, Keon Coleman, actually texting Josh Allen?
Yeah, he texted me, the day of. I was like, you the guy I wanted. I watched a lot of receivers, and, I won't play with you. And I'm like, I've been saying the same thing. I want to go play the guy that went number 17. And, he's a great quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the league right now. And, I would love to be catching passes from him. I'm ready for that.
Now, if that's true, that Josh Allen was saying, you're the guy I wanted, if that was actually true and not just Josh Allen being polite, then you wonder, all right, well, Josh Allen is going to have no problem chucking it up there and letting Coleman go up and get it. I mean, he did that throughout Gabe Davis's time here. It felt like the biggest plays that Josh Allen to Gabe Davis occurred when he just threw it up there and Davis went up and got it, right? Like, yeah. If Coleman can do that, then I think we're all going to be happy with the results. And then the other bit that is, speaking of wide receiver, that happened here over the course of the weekend is the signing of a player who was cut and suspended a year ago for violating the league's gambling policy. And that's wide receiver Quintez Cephas, who's coming into Buffalo from Detroit after being off for a year. And I think just given what we see here with this wide receiver, I think Cephas actually has a pretty good chance of making this team. Like, I don't think he's just coming in as a camp body, even though he's brought in after the fact, and he's going to be a guy that won't count against compensatory draft pick formula. A little bit of depth there, and somebody that can compete with the likes of Andy Isabella, as an example, right?
Or Mac Hollins.
Sure.
Like, there's guys that will be, and guess what we're going to be talking about when the Bills get the fish, or the wide receiver battle. Like, how does this all shake out? Because, well, for the first time since we've been doing this, I don't know the pecking order.
KJ Hamler, another name that we forget about, right?
Yeah, like, bringing in more competition. And look, he's not anybody I think you can bank on making the 53, but give him a shot. Oh, by the way, this may be his last shot, because if he doesn't show up with Josh Allen throwing the ball and he's got that big X on his resume and being suspended for a year, I don't know how many other teams would give him a shot. So good on the Bills that they brought in a guy that with, questionable character, I suppose, if you aren't that smart there to know, hey, you shouldn't be betting on the NFL.
At minimum, he's a value, right? You don't have to worry about overpaying for Quintez Cephas. You're going to get him at a discount and hope that he provides you results like a premium. The other second-round pick made Friday night by the Buffalo Bills is a safety out of Utah, Cole Bishop, who also had the chance to meet with Buffalo media. And he was actually hoping that the Bills would be the team to select him.
I had an ideal range, or an idea of what range it was going to be, and then, what teams need safeties. I mean, you can Google what teams need safeties, so being able to just look that up, and then, there's a 10-pick range or so where a few teams needed safeties, and then, I was hoping it was Buffalo, and it worked out.
So if you're kind of going along the timeline of Dalton Kincaid last year, another Utah guy, by the way, where Dalton Kincaid was running a one-yard pattern against the Jets, we can, like, use him more. isn't that kind of what we expect here, Cole Bishop? Meaning, hey, you've got two guys that are in this league that would know the assignments. That's a tough position. And in Sean McDermott's defense, particularly, that carries a lot of responsibility. I don't know if you're ready to throw a rookie in there right off the bat, but you kind of ease him in. And at least there isn't this dire need to get him in right away with Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp. So I like the pick, Danger. I would have loved to have Cooper DeJean. And damn it, he went to Philadelphia.
Just a few, yeah. I mean, you know, the guys that we fell head over heels in over the course of the draft pre-draft process. Yeah, my guy ended up with the Rams.
Chargers.
I'm sorry, with the Chargers. Your guy ended up with the Eagles. And we'll see how they pan out here during the course of their time in the NFL. But yeah, DeJean is nice. I don't hate the pick. I like the idea that you've got a little bit of depth, at least his first year in Cole Bishop, and eventually maybe he is somebody that can supplant Taylor Rapp or Mike Edwards. Injuries happen. And I imagine that at some point Bishop gets on the field as a rookie. I don't see why you wouldn't put him on the field as a rookie. Second round pick, get something out of him. He can't be a special teamer his entire a special team player his entire career. I think you're gonna want to see him at some point here early this season.
Yeah, and I want to certainly key in on him during training camp too, and how far he comes and. Could he actually beat out? I never thought you would have Osiris Torrance beating out Ryan Bates last year, but that happened, and it ended up being a good thing, starting him all 17 games. Could that happen again? Sure, why not? Like, bring in more competition. You're really high on the center, by the way.
I like the center. I like a three-year starter out of Georgia. I like a guy that's won a lot of football and won titles. And Cedric Van Pran Granger was a fifth round pick, the Bills. And that's a guy that I actually could see again. At worst, he's a depth piece, but he's only played center. I don't know that he's got the kind of versatility. It was weird because normally they want versatile guys, but he's got the kind of mastery of that. I think he could end up being your center long-term. If this doesn't work out with the shift over from
Connor McGovern
from guard to center. So I kind of like that pick. I like seeing a bulldog on the Bills roster. I think that's good. You got a guy who is a three-year starter, who's played a lot of football at that position and has won a lot of football games.
Well, it gives you another option too, yeah. Because like with Connor McGovern, if that didn't work out, or say David Edwards for whatever reason. And again, you don't have to rush him in there, but I certainly like them addressing the line. And the pick I was excited about, and I got to announce on the air on Saturday during a lacrosse game, Ray Davis. Here's your fun fact, Danger. Ray Davis, the first player in NCAA history to rush for 1,000 yards with three different schools. Goes to Temple, goes to Vanderbilt, goes to Kentucky. Oh, he's going through the portal, not a quality guy. Holy cow, read his story if you haven't already. 12 years old, he's been in foster care, both of his parents, in having to serve time. He's a self-made man, and he said that at age 12. He had to become a man, basically. And, oh, by the way, he got his degree at Vanderbilt in 2022. So he took the extra time, went to Kentucky, tore it up against Tennessee in one game and watched. I think this is somebody that could be a really nice compliment to James Cook in the backfield.
He's not, but what he isn't is that bruiser, right? Like, he can catch balls out of the backfield. He is kind of like an insurance policy. If something happens to Cook, you have Cook 2.0 in this pick, right? Like, they didn't get the guy that we were talking about, like the Audric Estime kind of bruising back that you can really push between the tackles. And maybe that's less important to them moving forward. And you can always bring back Latavius Murray, I suppose, if you really wanted to, or if he's even good to go to be that kind of player. But yeah, that's an exciting player who's capable of catching balls. I think he had the most receiving touchdowns, if I read it correctly, most receiving touchdowns out of the backfield in the NCAA last year. Yeah. So the Bills have a type at running back, and Davis is that type.
Well, then also too, like, I think this is just funny. Like, who's the last guy that really had Frank Gore Sr.? We have Frank Gore Jr. now on the Buffalo Bills as an undrafted, and we'll talk to Ryan Talbot coming up in the 4 o'clock hour about this. I think that's a neat storyline. I also think that the odds may be against Frank Gore Jr. Landing a spot on the 53, but you never know.
You never know. And then I know the one that the pick that that has you up in arms, and I think we'll talk about this later on. Their last pick of the draft, somebody who has no playing experience.
My father pulls me aside. That was his first take. It wasn't about Keenan Cole. Like, why? Why would you do this? I have thoughts on that coming up, and I'll drink to that.
Travis Clayton.
I'm just wondering, is there something else going on with that pick? You could say I'm way out of bounds on this
one. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And we'll review all of these picks later on throughout the course of the afternoon.
I am surprised about one thing, though, okay? Great, they got Keon Coleman. You knocked me over with a feather. They only took one guy, though. I thought for sure with 10 picks, you could bring in somebody else in the later rounds. Heck, Khalil Shakir was a fifth rounder, and maybe that guy doesn't develop right away, but at least you get more in the pipeline. I never would have thought that you would have the one guy and be like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Weird.
But they did have to address other needs, right? Like, they didn't really go too far in any direction with any of these positions. You got your tackle, your defensive tackle in the third round, the kid out of Duke, Dwayne Carter. You added a little bit of linebacker help. You're going to have to help me with his last name because I keep messing it up.
Olufashio? Yeah. I just go with Eddie. You can call him Eddie, apparently. Okay. So, yeah.
The linebacker out of Washington. You got another edge to add to the...
The linebacker out of Washington, that is your replacement to Tyler Medicavage. Like, basically, okay, here's somebody younger, more physical, and with the new rules on kickoffs. And also danger, if you're down to your fifth linebacker, you shouldn't be like,
let's get AJ Klein and dust him off again.
No.
Javon Solomon, they added an edge rusher in the fifth round as well. Edge rusher out of Troy, another offensive tackle in Tylan Grable out of Central Florida, and a corner Hardy out of Penn State in the sixth round. So a little bit of depth there to add. And probably some practice squad fodder there late in the draft for the Buffalo Bills. And then you'll see the flood of undrafted free agents that are trying. We'll get into all of that here with Ryan Talbot when he joins us about an hour from now. Next up in the sports bar, we shift gears and talk to Dan Fates, 13WEB Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. We'll get his take on the Bills haul in the 2024 NFL draft. And we have time for your calls as well. You can pull up a stool and join us at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Buffalo Bills picking up the fifth-year option on Gregory Rousseau. The defensive end will be under contract now through 2025. Talking about these new draft picks added to the defensive line, Dwayne Carter out of Duke.
Outside of that, I can't wait to get here, learn the landscape, learn Buffalo for Buffalo, and actually figure out, you know, where I can make the biggest impact, you know, where it will be technically my community outside of this facility and, you know, the team. So, you know, I got to get my boots on the ground, figure it out, but who knows? That's TBD, honestly.
So what about the Bills draft? We'll talk to Dan Fates, 13WEM, and Buffalo Plus coming up next year in the sports bar. Rochester Americans playoff series evened up with Syracuse now. The best of five at one game each. The pivotal game three coming up Thursday night in Syracuse. The Red Wings also taking on Syracuse. That series begins tomorrow night. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
A big hit feels great, but I mean, there's no other feeling compared to like an interception. I had a big interception at the end of our Baylor game this year, and I mean, nothing compares to that feeling, so definitely against the pass.
New Bills safety Cole Bishop. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Back talking some Bills draft and recapping it with 13 Wham Sports and BuffaloPlus.com's Dan Fates, who joins us now in the Sports Bar. Dan, looking at the overall body of work here for the 2024 Buffalo Bills draft, did Brandon Bean do it right?
Well, not necessarily how I would have liked to, but as comments would say, it's a good thing I'm probably not running an NFL team. So I do have to have some faith in Brandon Bean and where their mindset is. I would have liked another wide receiver. I would have liked more speed. I know this team has a lot of holes still left to fill. They have leaders they need to replace. They lost five captains. And Brandon said it after the draft. This is a team that's in a transition. And we've seen the Patriots do it over the years. We've seen the Chiefs do it over the years. The Bills have to find a way to constantly evolve and turn over chapters of their team under Josh Allen. And this is the first installment that we have seen. I like some of the pieces, but I think we also know there's a lot of times where we get out of the draft and draft grades are hysterical. I mean, I joked around about that. We're so done. I'm so over mock drafts. I'm even more done over draft grades because they just reiterate what you thought before the draft. So if you liked the player before the draft, you love the pick. And if you didn't love the player before the draft, you don't love the player after the pick because he hasn't done anything. I will say I was unsure about my thoughts on Keon Coleman just from the sense of what a lot of other people have said. Listen, I worry. I think I've talked about it too. I want guys that can separate. And I've asked smarter people than me, Matt Miller from ESPN, we talked about him. I asked him before the draft straight up, is Keon Coleman a boom or bust kind of guy? And he said no, and that there is more to his game because I worry that if you can't separate in college, how are you going to be able to separate in the NFL? But there is a lot of raw talent. I think there's a lot of upside. And talking to a friend of mine who played football in the ACC, he kind of joked that Coleman didn't really run routes in Florida State's system. Like, put him in a structure in an NFL with using his talents to, you know, using his strengths to his ability, maybe there's more than what we saw at Florida State. So I think that's the upside. I would have liked more speed. We've heard a lot about Brandon Bean saying, you know, you need to add speed. That's our fastball. Coleman's not necessarily a guy that I see of as a real burner, obviously.
Dan, I went on Kansas City radio yesterday morning, and it was just kind of like that they're pointing and laughing at us. I'm sure you felt, some of the heat, on 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus from Bills fans. Yeah. How could you dare make that move? If anything, you're going to be comparing the careers here of Keon Coleman and also, Xavier Worthy, but bottom line, why? From the Bills standpoint, is it a move you would have made, Dan?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I tweeted, I was in shock that you would trade with the Chiefs. And I've never seen, maybe, and obviously sports are passionate and fan bases are and all these things. Gene, you know that as a Mets fan. Trying to process the things with a calm head. I remember last year when the draft was over, that night I didn't like Dalton Kincaid. I didn't understand the pick. And I know there were people talking about, like, well, just view him as a slot wide receiver. And I was like, well, then you drafted a slow white slot wide receiver. Like, draft a wide receiver if you wanted to draft a wide receiver. You drafted a tight end. And I slept on it, and I woke up, and I was like, hey, maybe he can be that bigger body Cole Beasley to occupy the middle of the field. And I kind of slept on that. My reaction on Thursday night was, how do you ever do anything with the Chiefs? Like it just makes no sense. And then I woke up and I went, I can't believe they still made that trade. If Kansas City calls, you hang up. I don't know why that's so hard as something to process. And a third round pick that they got for it is like, cool. And I joke around about the fact that, like, everybody loves draft picks, guys, until they become players. Like, yes, you gained a third-round pick, and everybody loves the hope of what a third-round pick can be. And third-round picks can be Terrell Bernard. And third-round picks can be Zach Moss. So it's like, you love the thought. I joke around, second-round picks can be stars. They can also end up being Cody Ford. Like, you have to understand that, like, there's still so much left to decide. And I just personally wouldn't want to put that in the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. And for everybody that says, and I've been on here, guys, we talked about it before, I still think right now the Bills have one of the worst six or seven wide receiver rooms in the NFL.
Yeah.
And for everybody that tells me, and trust me, I get a lot of these comments on Buffalo Plus and on Twitter, like, well, Dan, you don't need, look at what the Chiefs did. They had a subpar wide receiver room, and look, they won back-to-back Super Bowls. And to that, I say, yeah, they also had Patrick Mahomes, possibly the greatest quarterback of all time, a Hall of Fame tight end, and maybe the greatest offensive coach that we've seen in NFL history. And also, I find it very funny, for how bad the Chiefs' wide receiver room is, guys, you know what they've done the last 2 years? They drafted a second-round wide receiver. They signed Hollywood Brown. Oh, yeah, and they traded up in the first round to get a wide receiver. It's not like the Chiefs are sitting there going, ha, you don't need wide receivers. What do you mean? We can just no, they're actively trying to improve their wide receiver room. So for all this thought of, the Bills had one pick on day two. Now they have three. But they didn't have a pick in day one. Like, you didn't just magically gain a second-round pick and a third-round pick. You gave up your first-round pick to get them. And that's why I still feel a little icky. Dan Orlovsky, who I view as my father in our hoodie sport coat and very intelligent wearing ways, he likes the Coleman pick. So I've kind of become more on board with, you know, a guy with great footwork, a guy with big upside, a bigger body, all of those things. I've come around on Coleman, but I'd be lying if I said that the trade with the Chiefs didn't make me feel very icky inside.
Yeah, when you look at what they've done with the addition of Brown and then drafting Worthy, I mean, they certainly got faster, if anything, and we've seen how that speed against this Bills defense usually works out. It doesn't go well for the Buffalo Bills.
That's my point, too. I didn't like Xavier Worthy. He was the one guy that I was very concerned the Bills could take, and I just thought, there's a history of first-round wide receivers that weigh 170 pounds that just doesn't pan out. And people can point to Davante Adams, and then to that I always say there's an exception. And for people that say, well, you can get Puka Nacua, you guys can get those guys in the fifth round. That's like, they point to the exceptions of the rule. And when you look at the draft as a whole, guys, it's very frustrating when people say, you can get wide receivers in any round. Look at Puka Nacua and look at this. To that I'd say, well, I guess just why draft a quarterback in the first round? Because you can just wait till the sixth round,
yeah,
and then you get Tom Brady. Like, it doesn't work out like that. So I can also not want Xavier Worthy on the Bills. I can also not want to hand him to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who it's not the media that has said the Chiefs are their rival and who they're chasing. Those are words that I'm taking from Brandon Bean. That is who they're trying to beat. And again, if the Chiefs were going to wait and get Xavier Worthy at 32, that's fine. But I wouldn't have handed him to the Chiefs, which is what they did. And that will be a narrative that Bills fans will have to live with. And maybe he doesn't pan out. And we can look back in 2 or 3 years and say, hey, they got a third round pick. And maybe this, you know, safety from Utah will pan out. But we'll see. That's my thought.
Dan, on Keon Coleman, and you mentioned it, you know, during the pre-draft process, we all talked to all the guys that watch the film and break it down. And one of the guys that I like to follow is Matt Harmon at Reception Perception,
yeah,
who kind of said that if Coleman makes it in the pros, his best shot and the skill set that he has coming into the pros is similar to, let's use Amon-Ra St. Brown as the example that example that he used. But they play Amon-Ra St. Brown largely as a big slot. And yep, if you're the Bills, I get the sense that they're not going to use Keon Coleman specifically in that role. They've got enough slot receivers in that wide receiver, yep, room already. So are we in any way concerned that Coleman as the X might be miscast in this offense?
I guess we're going to find out, because that's my fear too. And that's a great another one. It's like DK in the third round, Amon-Ra in the fourth round, and people think that it's about fit. It's about the fit, because I joke around, like, if the Seattle had drafted DK Metcalf and asked him to run double moves and asked him to run curl routes. Like, he doesn't do that. He runs a slant and he runs a go route. And, like, that's all they ask him to do. But he's elite at it. So you have to find out what Keon does really well, and you have to ask him to do that. So can he be this X wide receiver, stretch the field, kind of replace Stephon Diggs? And I know they move a lot of guys around, but that's my fear, is that he doesn't have enough speed to really kind of push the ball down the field. He made some great catches. There's no doubt about that. It is funny. Anybody that's ever played basketball at like the high school level or anything, what's the draft comp, guys? Plays above the rim.
Yeah.
That's what you hear over and over again. I looked at like Mike Evans. I looked at, you know, Brandon Marshall, those kind of things. It's a big body. It's a big catch radius, good hands, good footwork. Those are the things that I like. So as of right now, I'm going to put my faith in that, knowing that I just think he's very raw. Out of a lot of the wide receivers that were there, I think he's very raw. That doesn't mean bad. It just means a little bit of unproven that we're going to get to know. And again, Danger, maybe this is also, they're trying to retool this offense. So maybe they see Khalil being maybe more on the outside, maybe more than we're used to. Maybe that's where they're seeing him, and putting Coleman a little bit more in the slot than what we think fits. But this is going to have to look like a new offense without Gabe and without Diggs, what this offense is going to look like.
We're down at 13 WHAM, Buffalo Plus, Dan Fates here. Second-round pick, Cole Bishop. And I look at last year's second-round pick, Osiris Torrance, and I'm like, wow, you can't ask a rookie to start 17 games. He did. He was great here. So, I mean, maybe it's unfair of them drawing this analogy, but the Bills have shown before, hey, we're willing to start a rookie here. So how do you think Bishop kind of fares against, you know, as I'm already looking ahead to battles here at training camp going against the two incumbents, really the other guy, not really an incumbent, in Mike Edwards?
Yeah, I think he's really going to give Taylor Rapp a run for his money, depending on where they see him. But Bishop was a guy, you know, after they picked him, watching some film on him, reading what other people have said, the dude plays everywhere. And that's what Brandon Bean liked, too, the versatility. We all know how much they love that term. But he blitzed. He's in the box. He's run-stopping. He's covering tight ends. Like, he doesn't feel like the Micah Hyde replacement. Also, we can now, I think we know Micah Hyde. We think. I'm assuming Micah Hyde is going to come back to the softball game in Buffalo and announce his retirement there, if there's any sign of that. But I think that they're going to rotate a couple guys, but it seems like Bishop has a strong chance to play the strong safety more than really the free safety, with his ability to blitz and do all those things. Kind of reminded me a little bit of like what Jordan Poyer did, where Poyer was almost at times this hybrid safety linebacker mix. That's what it feels like Cole Bishop could be.
Let's talk a little bit about the fifth-round pick out of Georgia. They went with the center in drafting Cedric Van Pran-Granger. Why I like that pick, Dan, three-year starter, won a lot of football games for Georgia. He comes in a winner, and he comes in as somebody that I think can challenge McGovern if you have any doubts about his ability to shift from guard to center.
Yeah, I think we often overlook the consistency that Mitch Morris brought, and it's nice to have a backup plan. And maybe McGovern doesn't work out, or Edwards, they don't like necessarily as much as guard and want him to be still kind of be that swing tackle. It does provide a lot of pieces that they can kind of interchange, because I think you're looking at those three guys fighting for the two spots. And if we saw last year, like, you like Edwards, but you didn't ask Edwards to do more than what he was really kind of the extra tight end, you know, the extra lineman on a lot of running plays. So I'm with you. Winner, big program, SEC football, he knows how to, you know, mature, all those things. I like that. And it was the first time where I went, hey, McGovern was really good at guard. Like, do we sure we want to blow this whole thing up? Like, instead of moving two pieces around, you can kind of just move one.
That's right.
And if SVPG, or however we're going to nickname him, is kind of falls in, if he has a strong camp, I think he's going to make a strong bid, because in my opinion, him and McGovern, don't you kind of see them as the same level playing field? And if anything, McGovern has the edge at guard, because you wouldn't have to move him, and you know what he is at guard. You don't really know what he is going to be at center. So maybe SVPG just kind of fell to them and thought, we can't pass this up, even though we had a plan of moving McGovern to center. Maybe now this is, hey, maybe we don't have to move him. And if, you know, this guy and Josh, you know, work well together at camp, maybe he can slide right in.
Talking to Dan Fates here. Fourth round pick Ray Davis here, and he's certainly
love him.
Yeah, interesting. Pickup for the Bills. And he's not really the in between the tackle sort of bruising guy that maybe we were expecting to pair with James Cook. But I'll ask the question this way: what do you think about him as a receiver here, Dad? Yeah. Because James Cook, there were a few drops. I remember the one in Philadelphia. So your thoughts on Davis here and how quickly he may be inserted in the lineup.
Gene, you're a pro, because that was going to be my little tidbit. I thought I was going to be smarter than you and tell you that he had 7 receiving touchdowns last year, that was second in the SEC coming out of Kentucky. Like, I like that versatility. Plus, he may not be the bruiser at where he was at Kentucky. I know he bounced around. He was also at Vandy. He does have the size of, like, a bowling ball Mike Tolbert. Like, to be that guy that you would hope with his body size could be the short yardage back. That being said, I liked what Ty Johnson brought when they re-signed him. He was one of the guys I was like, kind of wouldn't mind him coming back, because I liked that he was kind of that 2A running back. Now maybe with Ray Davis here. Also, Ray Davis, doesn't that just sound like a running back from like 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers? Like he just sounds like he's a guy that has a neck roll and just will run downhill and run over linebackers. Also, his story as a foster kid, defying the odds. Said he, pretty much had to be a man at the age of 11 or 12. He is going to be such an easy guy to root for. And again, all of these draft picks, and we can all hope what they, what they will be or translate. There was a universal theme of this draft class of high character guys. And I think that's also a testament to this organization going back to what got them back on track in 2017, 2018, 2019, they went with culture over talent. And then they integrated some talent, and then whatever we want to talk about, Diggs or other things, like, I think the Bills are going back to that. We can win some games with culture and Josh Allen. And for the time being, I think that's where they're leaning. When culture and talent meet together, special things happen. But they've had to lose some talent, and I think they've brought in a lot of culture and a lot of leadership, which, again, they've lost 5 captains. 3 on defense. So I like what I've seen.
I love that you're dusting off the culture versus talent debate, because you're right, man. And that's an easy one to forget, like how much emphasis was placed on culture before they brought in Steph Diggs. And now the way Diggs left, it's almost as if to say, yeah, screw talent, we want culture. And then they do this. And I want to go back to the wide receiver room, because they're bringing in a guy who was just suspended for an entire year for gambling, and now you've got Quintez Cephas as part of this wide receiving court. And by the way, Dan, I think he's got a pretty good chance of latching on with the Buffalo Bills. So does the culture versus talent thing rear its head when they want it to rear its head? Because it sure seems like they'll find talented guys if they'll look for the talented guys if they want them.
Well, that's what I always say. When Sean McDermott came in 2017, and it was the one thing that, like, it kind of annoyed me. To be honest, like, these kumbaya speeches, we have guys talking around the campfire about their lives, and that's, if you love the guy next to you, play for him harder, and all these things. And I was like, the Patriots had murderers, and they won Super Bowls. Guys, I want dudes. Like, I want football players. Culture's great, too. But I think they are doubling back down on that sense of culture. And Josh Allen. Hey, we got Josh Allen. I remember talking to Bean at the Combine. He did kind of laugh about the fact of every single morning show that you turn on, every network is the Bills championship window is closed. And we asked him the question, like, on camera, and we kind of got done, and he kind of like laughed. He's like, the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, I got Josh Allen. You're right. But I don't want him throwing to us three. I want him throwing to guys that can separate, win battles, and all this versatility is great. And I like Cole Shakir more than most. I want a lot of money on a lot of his prop bets, guys. I invested money into Khalil Shakir, and I like the guy. But I don't want to put this unrealistic expectation. I'm seeing people tell me all the time, hey, I also don't know what Justin Shorter is going to be. Because trust me, we get a lot of those comments about, hey, you guys aren't talking about Justin Shorter in this wide receiver. It's like, okay. And Khalil Shakir could be a really good number two. It's like, I don't want to put unrealistic expectations onto these players to be somebody that they're not, because they did that with Gabe Davis and it didn't work out. Gabe Davis was a really good fourth round pick and he played really well for his first 2 seasons. And then they expected and thought he'd be more than he was. And I'm not trying to bring up the past, but you're kind of just trying to, how did we get to where we are now? It's, I want some talent. And whether this Quantes guy figures it out, sure. But hell, I think anybody has a chance to latch onto this wide receiver room. Yeah, I know there are still guys out there. I've heard there's maybe a little bit of rumblings that they could be more interested. From what I've heard, they're not interested in Debo or in Brandon Ayuk. Clearly, it would be, to me, laughable to send Diggs out for his behavior or whatever. Obviously, we'll never know. And then to bring in a guy like Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who are doing way worse things publicly of a diva status than Diggs ever did in Buffalo. Like, and that's where it is, guys. Like, this culture, like, you want to have a strong locker room. I also want to fill some talented guys around Josh.
Dan Fates, 13 WHIM. Any other takeaways from the draft we haven't touched on here, Dan?
Travis Clayton. How about that, guys? This was a guy that boxed, played rugby, rode, has never played a snap of football before, but is 6'7", 300 pounds, and ran a 4.8 40. I don't know, but that's pretty sweet. Like, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but it's an awesome way to find an athlete. And Mike had talked about it, too, when on our most recent podcast, we recapped the draft. He said that he was talking to a scout or had heard a scout say, I'd rather have a guy that has no habits than bad habits. You are getting a raw dude that is not afraid of contact and is a monster, mountain of a human being. I think it's going to be interesting and fun to see where that could go.
Yeah, and then you have the added benefit of the international player pathway program. Get you, Dan? An extra spot on the practice squad, or a little bit of flexibility there on game day?
Yes. So he won't count against them. I believe it was who's the running back that we all fell in love with?
Yeah, Christian Wade.
Thank you. Yeah, that was it. So another guy that, you know, see what he can do. But he's a mountain of a human being, and as Daquan Jones said so well before the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff game, sometimes football just comes down to a man whooping another man.
Yeah.
And I think Travis Clayton can, I think he can whoop some men. That's what I'll say.
Dan, what are you guys working on at BuffaloPlus.com here this week that we can check up on here as we look now ahead to some of the offseason work ahead?
Yeah, Jenna and I were up there on Thursday. We recapped it. I just couldn't believe, obviously now, the Bills did get a wide receiver, so I guess it's tempered a little bit of some thoughts on that. We recapped, Mike and Jenna recapped day two of the draft, and then Mike, Jenna, and I did a podcast that came out yesterday, just pretty much recapping our thoughts and what's next. I still think they're going to add to the wide receiver. I still think, I'm not a huge fan of Odell Beckham Jr. He still is out there. I think he's past his prime, but maybe they need a little bit of some veteran in that room. There's not a ton of it right now. So I still think that, hey, Brandon Bean will tell you, it's still April, guys. There's still a long way to go till that. So we'll keep breaking all that down, talking culture over talent. And again, we have to figure out where some of these guys fit in. But I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic of Joe Brady with a full year to really implement his system. And where, you know, how does Khalil fit in? Where do they see him? How are they going to use Curtis Samuel, as well as some of these other new guys?
Dan, thanks for coming on. I'm not going to hang up. I'm a new man.
You better not hang up on him. He's our guest. You don't hang up on your guest, Gene.
This is surprising you, right? Like, this Mets, like, is this found money? Is this like when you put on a pair of pants and there's like an extra 20 and you're like, I didn't know that. You're getting some joy out of this.
We're just holding our breath, waiting for the day. Maybe it happens this week. My Cubs are playing as Mets. He might just rub my nose in it. The Cubs.
Could happen. It's April 29th.
Hey, Danger, this is best case scenario. Because he said he wasn't going to care. I think the way they're playing, Danger, I think he's going to stumble upon optimism. And then he'll get crushed.
We're holding our breath and waiting for that day. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't, Dan. Appreciate the time, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dan Fates, 13 WHIM Sports, BuffaloPlus.com.
That was last year, or is it 2 years ago? I got excited. I think you hung up on him.
I think it was last year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last year. Because Mr. Mouth was the year before. And then you hung up on him the following year. You don't hang up on your guest. That's just...
I, I didn't. He wanted to get the Braves thing. I was trying to cut him off at the right time.
Yeah, okay, you were trying to cut him off by hanging up on him. Roll the tape!
Again, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, Dan, appreciate it. And look out this week. LGM, good talking to you, Dan. Bye. Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Yes!
No,
yes!
No, you social misfit.
Yes.
Meet the Mets.
No.
Meet the Mets.
To have Dan back on with us now. You just hung up on him.
I did hang up on him.
Now you see. Now anybody that wonders, why do I call Gene a social misfit Mets fan? Now you see the disrespect.
He was going to get his Braves propaganda out over the air. I will text him. I will apologize.
You had to apologize and alter your character. You realize that you had a problem.
I did.
Now you're just taking deep breaths, holding it in. At some point, it might come out. Maybe it overflows this week. We'll see what happens with the Cubs series.
Danger Plus is, it's bad for the show, you're acting.
It's bad for the show.
No, dude, it's better for me as a fan.
Well, that's what's most important. We need you to be in tip-top. We don't need you getting all wound up, Gino, and hanging up on our guests over a silly baseball game. What are we doing here? I'll drink to that is next in the sports bar. We've got some takes on tap.
Oh, yeah. We've got some takes here as Travis Clayton. I've got some thoughts on this here, like for the Bills here. I'm like, what is this really about? Maybe I'm out there, but I'm going to present to you a theory here.
Okay.
Also, the Spencer Rattler story.
Oh,
like how he fell here.
It's crazy, right? When he was at Oklahoma, I think everybody assumed that guy was going to be
the number one overall pick.
That's right.
And what happened along the way here? Is it a cautionary tale, or are we just kind of overlooking things? I'm going to be interested. So let's talk about Spencer Rattler.
We'll talk some undrafted free agents next hour, as well as the Bills have signed several. Ryan Talbot will join us at 425 from NewYorkUpstate.com, and you can pull up a stool and join us as well. Our phone number is 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.